I'd like to call this meeting to order. Today is June 7th, 2011, 7 p.m. I'd like to ask if there are any conflicts of interest from any of the board members.
No conflict.
None.
Yes. Two items this evening I'd like to partake in the discussion, but I will abstain from voting on the heliport and the park district.
Okay. We have that conflict of interest from
Mr.
Well,
I'm on the heliport committee.
I might be one of the contractors doing the work. That's why I'm on that. Or that's why I would like to abstain from voting on that. And the other is I'm one of the board members, the applicants for the park district. I don't think I should vote on that.
Good point.
So.
Okay.
Well, then do I need to take my conflict back? My no?
No.
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 I could really vote on the park district, but I just personally would not like to avoid any.
Well, we'll discuss that when that subject is broached, because I had a conversation with the county concerning that. We'll now do a roll call. Candy Rowe?
Present.
Bill McCarter?
Present.
Myself, Robert Fino, is present. Mr. Tim Heine?
Present.
Mr. Rebel Jones did call and ask for a excuse absence, personal matters, and I gave him that. We'll now have the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Number four is the consent agenda. We only have one item on the agenda to approve, and that's the approval of the minutes from May 3rd, 2011. So that's item number five on the agenda. Has everybody on the board had a chance to go through the minutes?
Yes.
Yes.
I was absent from the meeting, so I will abstain from voting in that also.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes for May 3rd, 2011 as read, or unless there's...
Second.
We have a second. Any discussion concerning those minutes?
Yes. There was just one item under board members present under my name, Candy Roll member, Rebel Jones. Shouldn't member be on there?
Yes.
Okay. That's the only correction.
Okay. We'll add that as a correction to the minutes. So we have a motion to approve the minutes from May 3rd of 2011. Ms. Candy Roll did second it with the correction to add member after the end of Rebel Jones. With that correction in, will any further discussion? We'll now take a vote. All those in favor of approving the minutes from May 3rd of 2011 with a show of hands. A show of hands show that three members did vote in favor of that. Mr. Tim Heine did remove himself from that vote because he wasn't present. That motion has been passed. Do we have any members in the public that wishes to address the board at this time? We have no call to the public. We'll move on to agenda item number seven. And that's reports. The financial report given by Ms. Lori Tucker.
In your packets, you guys have M&O account year to date. Trying to get this month closed out. This is it for this fiscal year as of June 30th. And then the third page is a... It kind of goes along with other fire reports. There's a spreadsheet with each fire that we've had since January 1st. A along with the employees that were not on the fire. Breaks down what we bill the state for their wages, what we bill the state for our engine, what it cost us to backfill for those guys who went out on the fire, what we paid the employees that went out on the fire, what the fuel costs were, if there were lodging costs, there's lodging on there. And at the bottom you can see under profit, $20,240.29. So that's what we made after we paid all of our expenses on all of those fires. We cleared $20,240.29.
Okay. Now, in my discussion with Chief Martinez, that loss on the right-hand column has not been included, so basically it's a little less than that,
about 18, correct?
So basically 18,
right. Approximately. We had a loss on the
no, not 18. That's right. So 18.
About 18,000. We had a loss on the Crooked Creek fire of $612.77, and a loss on the Mayhill fire of $807.20. I guess we added some more to it, 86330. Oh, okay, great. If you look under the wages column, it's the fourth column, you'll see yours is a little bit shadowed. That's, we lost money in wages. What we got to bill the state versus what we paid out, that shows a loss as well. Not an overall loss, maybe because we made more money on our engine, but however, wages, we took a hit on them.
Now, out of curiosity, how did we take a loss on the wages?
Well, when we send guys out on the fire, we have to pay their wages, plus we have to pay backfill wages for whoever had to come in and work their shifts at the station. And that could be overtime as well.
So is that preventable?
Depends. I mean, you pay someone that makes a lesser wage to go out on the fire.
If I can answer.
Sure, Paul.
Chief Martinez right now is our only engine boss until we get Terry approved. So backfill for him is going to be there. And as far as sending people out, we send full-time employees out because we don't have enough on our other roster to send nothing but new guys out. We got to have some experience out there as well, like Terry. And Terry is actually the biggest expense for sending out him, the chief, as far as backfill goes. So it's kind of preventable, but if we want to get trucks out, it's kind of not at the same time, if that makes any sense.
So you can see in the corner fire, if you follow that over, the backfill alone, the backfill wages was $780. That's just to cover the shifts that the guys that went out on the fire would have worked. We had to pay someone else to come in and work those. So when you see two numbers, one right underneath the other one, you'll see next to it, it's the backfill.
Okay, so if we take that backfill, $788.80, and subtract it from our profit, or has that been subtracted from our profit?
That's been subtracted.
So basically we still made $1,118.
Right. Mm-hmm. We did because of our engine. You see under the engine part, we billed for the engine, we got $3,591. So we billed the state $7,616.24. We had some tire issues that was deducted from the fire, $725. So we still made a profit. Just under wages is where we had a loss compared to what we billed for wages. If that makes sense.
May I ask a question? Why was Mayfield Mayhew is also high on backfill.
Because it's chief who went out on fire. Chief is EMT and fighter, so sometimes we have to split up coverage for him. And then when you're out on a fire, you get overtime after 40 hours. So you can hit 40 hours, you know, by the third day, and then it's time and a half. So at his wage, the time and a half, it's much higher than anybody else.
Now, Ms. Roll, I did ask the chief concerning these two items, and he talked to me, and he says that he's learned from the Crooked Creek fire and the Mayhill fire what he did wrong when he went out on his own on that. And he says it was kind of a learning process for him on these two particular fires. And he told me that because of that, now he knows how to handle that kind of a situation. Paul, maybe you can, do you know anything about that?
As far as he went out as a single resource.
A single resource, okay.
Correct, but exactly asking.
So a single resource is not as profitable as...
No, because you're only getting whatever we can bill as far as the state contract, which is only $28 an hour, plus whatever we can bill for the truck. And if we have backfill, then it usually is not worth sending out, because the truck, and take the manual fire for instance, the chief went out in the command truck. That truck only gets $65 a day instead of like our other trucks, like the engines, that get an hourly rate, because it's not a suppression vehicle. It's just like a transport vehicle.
So the chief said that basically he told me that single resource was the term I was looking for. That he has learned not to go out as a single resource because of those two fires. And he says it's a learning process sometimes when you go out on the different fires, how to maximize your income.
So now, it's better if he takes a couple of people with him?
Or a different vehicle, is that right, Paul?
But like I said, the command truck only gets a set amount per day versus a set amount per hour. So it's much more profitable for us to send out a crew with an engine or an ambulance or a tender versus a single resource in a vehicle that only gets a limited amount per day.
But they have to call for
correct.
It's a specific, they send a specific call to us, whether they have an engine, a tender.
Now, I asked the chief if he would go out on something like this, and he said he wouldn't do that any other time, you know, just because it's a loss to the district. So this is conversation with the chief on that over the phone where we were talking about this particular page. Mm-hmm. Just to clarify Ms. Roll's question on that. And I don't see it occurring anywhere else further down the line.
And who calls for the vehicles to go out? The fire?
The state?
It comes from Arizona State Land. Okay. They call us to get resources out of it if we can send them.
Okay. Like right now, they're requesting for Tucson to send vehicles out.
Correct. And like last night, they called us to send out a tender for the Mayhill fire. Mm-hmm. Well, they originally asked us for an engine, but we can't afford to send our only type wall engine, the wall of fire. Okay. We can't afford to send our only structural engine out there. So they settled for us sending a crew of two out in a tender. Okay. So it's up to us to make the determination of what we can send and what we can't send. Okay. But they'll send out the request of, you know, basically what you got.
I have a question.
Bill?
You said we can only, it's been some time since we've discussed this, we can only bill $28. So basically we go into overtime, but state land doesn't go into overtime.
Right.
Okay.
It's the way our contract reads right now with the state.
And it's overtime after 40 hours, which when you have 16-hour days, that comes up real quick.
Yeah, I just discussed with the chief just an hour before the meeting here that they're doing the night shift. What does that entail? What time? 9 to 5?
Well, whatever their operational hours are. I don't know if there's a set, you know, like graveyard versus swing shift versus mornings. But when I talked to them the other day, they are doing night shift. I still think they're doing 12 or 16-hour periods, though.
Yeah.
They're doing two operational periods to every one sleep period.
So when we go into overtime, when we go into our overtime, does that pretty much always put us over what the state is paying us?
Chief's overtime is a dollar below what we can bill. So if his overtime is $27 an hour, we can only bill $28.
Okay, so it doesn't put us over.
No, but... It just depends. Like Terry is right now under at firefighter one, which his regular rate is 1508, but his overtime rate, I don't know exactly what it is, 22 something. It's not so much that, it's that on top of the backfill. Because when we have such a small crew here, we're throwing so much coverage, we're throwing them into overtime as well. So if we're billing $27 an hour, that's not any of their backfill. Or if we're, you know, if we're billing Terry's rate at $22.75 an hour, that's not counting backfill. And we're not allowed to bill for backfill.
No, but theoretically we would still be paying for that were they here.
Not necessarily.
Well, we'd be paying them.
Right.
Now state land is paying them, so we shouldn't be paying them at that time, right?
We get reimbursed, but it's down the line. We won't get money for none of these fires. Actually, wait, the Davis fire we were paid for. One fire out of all of these.
But net, operation, we're, if they weren't at the fire, we would be paying them what we're paying the backfill people, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, but we double up because we're actually paying now and getting reimbursed later.
But we're not paying overtime after 40 hours here. We pay overtime after 106 hours. So when they're on that fire, between the overtime and the backfill, it just adds up quick.
Okay.
So I suggest that we sit down with the contract and as soon as we can, renew it to where we can bill. We can have the state recoup our backfill fees.
We can do that?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, once the contract's up, which will be 6 months.
When is the contract?
It's like 6 months or a year. I can't remember exactly when it's up. I know it's sometime in the next six months to a year.
Could we not have done that before?
I don't understand. I don't know. Steve signed it. I'm not sure if he's the one who wrote the contract. I don't know.
And Brandon.
But it's just not feasible for us, especially to have a full-time person go out on a fire, have to pay them overtime after 40 and then pay for their backfill. We're not going to make any money.
Do we have other stations doing that already, getting coverage for their backfill?
They get paid for it, yes.
Wow.
So this figure, like Crooked Creek, the 12 for Chief Martinez, $12.88, and then the backfill for $264. We give him that entire amount,
yeah,
or where does the backfill go?
He got the $12.88, and the backfill was for whoever had to come and work his shift here.
Uh-huh.
That's what backfill is whoever's in their place here at the station.
So this Mayhill fire, $21.95. Who was that for?
Well, it was from May 9th through the 15th.
So it was so more
whoever,
days.
Whoever,
it was all whoever, different people.
Yeah, whoever we could get to come in and work, and if they had hit overtime, there's nothing we can do about it. But if they're coming in here to work, put them into overtime.
But wouldn't the backfill just be just for the chief position?
It would be for the third person, yeah, for the coverage position.
But it's 24 hours a day.
Just one person.
Right. 24 hours a day for that one person. For however long it was.
Seven days.
Seven, yeah.
So a good scenario would be to make sure the chief doesn't go out by himself and take all that backfill. Is the chief the only one that takes a 24-hour backfill?
No, anybody who actually works here.
Any full-time employee.
If they have a regular shift here, then we have to fill their spot when they're gone. So, and when we can't bill for that, we can't bill the state for that, it adds up quick. Okay.
Well, this white fire, the backfill is so much less as opposed to the, and four people went out on that as opposed to the Mayhill.
Because on the white fire, there's only two people there that are full time. The other guys are part time. Okay. So they're not, we're not, you know, it's not a set schedule for them.
Okay.
So really, we only backfilled for Chief and Terry Tingle on that.
Okay. I see. Okay.
I just listed who went out so you could kind of get a perspective of how many guys go out at a time.
Well, this gives us a pretty good picture, but it also adds up to there's an awful lot to do.
Oh, yes.
To make this worthwhile.
Yes.
I mean, it isn't just all gravy.
No, we make the bulk of our money we're making off of our engines. And of course, it's more feasible to send part-time guys out, but if they don't hold those certs, we can't. We have to send out the guys that are certified to fly them. We're a small station. So my suggestion is to redo the contract so we can bill, you know, our back.
Wow, yes. That'd make a big, big impression.
Yes, it would. Especially when we lose about 1,400.
Yeah, to lose on the fire is pretty devastating.
So I see almost a little over 5,000 in backfills.
Mm-hmm. It hits you hard. Plus, you have to think about that. You have payroll costs on top of that. You have payroll taxes, workers' comp taxes.
Mm.
So if you're paying a firefighter $1,364 an hour, but we only receive $1,364 an hour from the state, it's costing us. Right out the door, it's costing us about $3.76 an hour. You know,
extra.
We just need to reconfigure the whole system.
Yeah, there's $5,300 in backfill wages.
Can you find out when that contract can be renewed?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, maybe on your next financial report.
I can find it tomorrow.
Okay. Anything else on this? So this is...
The rest of it's just kind of where we're at. To date is, just like it says, to date.
I would be curious about one thing, and I don't know if you know this. With the amount of money that's been billed in the last little while here, where do we come as far as what we budgeted? I mean, it seems like we'd be really close, yeah, for a while.
We budgeted $80,000. We've collected $56,176, and we have $48,000.
So we're going to go over
$104,000? Yeah, we will not receive it in this fiscal year. We just have to understand that.
Yeah,
these fires the way they are, it could take a couple months.
Yeah.
And federal fires take even longer sometimes. So.
But the profitability of it is somewhat.
Yes, and we're still going. I mean, these guys are still out, so.
Yeah.
We're going to far exceed our expectations.
How many people do we have out right now?
We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Six out right now.
Six out.
Okay, and how many people have we brought in to cover for them?
Chief's position and Terry's position.
Because everybody else is part-time.
Okay.
And the state contract's up 331 of 12.
Oh, that's true.
What day is it?
3/31 of 2012.
Okay.
So we've got about a year.
Another 9 months.
Wow.
9-10 months.
Maybe I did go and sit with Deborah Stanley. She's the state forester. She works in the state forester's office. We can amend it. So we might want to look and see what we can do. Maybe not change it completely, but maybe we can amend it.
Amend a portion of it.
Right. So, you know, we can look into that. She's wonderful. She would even, you know, even if somebody wants to meet me and meet with her, see what we can do. I don't know if she could come here because she's extremely busy. So,
where's her office?
Park, Tucson. It's up a park. By south of Iton.
That would be a good job for Mr. Fino, because you're so on top of it. You ask the right questions. You get the big bucks.
I get twice as much as you do.
That's right, you do. I'm so impressed. I don't want that job, but I got
something to add. The budget was posted in the newspaper. So it's all good. We've read twice. There's one more week next week.
Have we had anybody call?
Nope, and it's been posted in all three places for over a week. So.
And it's locked tight and behind the post office.
It looks good. Yes. It looks good.
Any problems with posting it at the post office?
No, it looks great.
Okay. You give it to him and he posts it, or does he just give you the key? Excellent.
And he stands there and watches.
Okay. Good. So. Any other questions concerning the financial portion of the report?
That's a nice report to be able to see that.
It is.
Like that.
Mm-hmm.
It is and it isn't.
When I was typing it, it wasn't. It's just growing pains, you know, it's learning how it all works.
It just seems like everybody is new.
And we've never really done a profit in the loss. There's fuel and ice. All of that, we've never really done that.
We've always wanted to.
Now, the chief,
I noticed on the budget that we have some the VFA and the RFA grants. Is that correct, Laurie? Is that what you say? They're called grants. On the second page, budget today, on the grants income?
Uh-huh.
The chief
did? Oh, right. I just wanted to explain to you what the different grants, what they are. The VFA is a 50-50 grant. The RFA is a 90-10. So we had to put up 10%, and they funded 90%. I just wanted to explain.
I think the chief, or maybe that was part of, no, that wasn't part of the handout. The chief, before he left, handed me the RFA and the VFA.
Oh, what we've collected?
Yes.
Okay. He asked me for it, but I didn't know he was putting it in the meeting.
Well, no, he passed them out because he said it was going to be part of the financial portion.
No, just what we've collected to date, $26,000.
Well, it's not on here.
Yeah,
so
I don't
know.
No.
I don't know what he's... What
well, this would be for the next meeting then.
Okay.
Just for the next meeting. I just noticed it out here on the budget report, the F, and so we'll
right.
pass those out.
Yeah, I put that on there because I just wanted you to know when we're talking about the two different grants, what the financial impact is. However, they are not going to renew the RFA grants anymore. Because they can't afford to fund 90%.
So will it drop to 64 here?
No, it'll just stay at the VFA at the 50-50.
50-50, okay. Any other questions from the board concerning the financial report?
So this goes on next month's business?
Yes, it's just something that the board can review, and we'll add that to the to the next morning, to new business for next month.
Okay.
The reason I brought it up because it was part of the financial report. And I just want to make sure we pass those out for the board for the next meeting.
Okay.
If nothing else to discuss on financial reports, we'll move on to the chief's report. Paul, are you going to be given that?
Yes.
Okay.
48 calls year-to-date, or yeah, year-to-date so far, 8 brush fires, 2 false alarms, 2 structure fires, which were both mutual aid with Alfreda Fire, and 2 others. I have no clue what those are. Lori already talked about the revenue stuff that was brought in for the wildland fire stuff. And the other one he's got on here is introduce Captain Christopher Waters. Chris was promoted just a couple of months ago to fill the vacancy as captain for the six-ship spot.
Congratulations, Captain.
Thank you. Thank you.
He has a captain shirt, I think.
Yeah, he's got a shirt on order, I think.
Everything's on order.
I would say his badge is on order. And so far, Chris is on order.
Congratulations.
I see he's got down here, he brought in an extra crew for wildland. The last crew that was here, of the 3 that were brought in, only one is still around. One went back home to his family up in Tonopah. I'm not sure where he disappeared to, and the other one is up on the fire, up on the horseshoe with the chief right now. The other two, the other one that we have living at Richland is also up there with the chief on the other fire, or on the horseshoe fire.
What's his name?
John Callahan.
John.
As far as the, yeah, well, I guess that's it for the actual chief's report.
Any questions concerning the chief's report from the board? We'll move on to the EMS report.
EMS report, 17 transports for last month, 6 of them by, or 6 air transports, 1 code 900, and 5 public assists. And we only had one case where the second ambulance was brought out. We did have 164 EMS calls year to date. So it's, I think, right around the same about what we had last year, maybe just a little bit higher.
Chairman Fino, can I ask about the new ambulances?
Sure, I was about to ask myself.
Okay, go ahead.
Good, Candy.
Oh, how are the new ambulances coming along? Are they ready to go?
One ambulance is still being stocked. We're waiting for another med order to come in so we can finish stocking that. It's been striped. The other one is sitting down at Richland waiting for the extra revenue to come in to take it down to the prison and get striped and figure out exactly what's going to happen with it. I think the chief was looking at an idea of turning one of them into a rehab unit, but I'm not sure where that's sitting at this time. I know the DHS inspection should be coming within the next couple of weeks for this one, so we can get it in line and in service, and it's good to go from there.
Okay.
Once we get the DHS inspection.
So how many ambulances do we have functioning right now?
Functioning 2 still right now.
And one is the new restriped one?
No, the new restriped one is still waiting for a DHS inspection.
Oh, that's So the state and our other... The state, the one that we got from the state, and so we're still back with our original.
Yeah, we still have the original.
Okay. Any other questions concerning the EMS report from the board? We'll move on to donations, unless Paul, you don't remember that.
I know I was looking at all these donations, and I think with the exception of maybe the land for the heliport, all of these have been mentioned in prior meetings before. I do know that we've moved all the exercise equipment that was donated into the shed now. That's all finished and looking actually really good out there.
You have air in there? And
yeah. We're still waiting for the power to be run to it.
Okay.
But other than that, all the equipment's out there. And, you know, if you want air to go through there, just open all the doors and let the wind blow.
Uh-huh. Well, it is doing that.
Absolutely.
I took a look at that last week. It looks really good.
Yeah.
It looks real good if any of the board members like to take a look.
And it's safer to work out there rather than in the bay.
Yes.
It was a good thing to do.
Oh, good.
And as far as the land for the heliport, I know the chief wanted to thank Joanne Gary for the donation, along with the Appels for, you know, helping along with that, and everybody on the Health Board Committee and stuff like that, for pushing things along the way they have so far.
Are you sending out a thank you letter?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Plus, it's already been recorded. The deed has already been recorded. I did that about
good
3 weeks ago, so that's
okay.
Taken care of.
Super. Thank you.
I'd like to officially thank Mayella Flanders for the exercise equipment here on public in public record for the exercise equipment donation. I'd also like to publicly thank Ms. Joanne Gary for the land for the heliport, and to set aside thank you for all the people that were involved in the project. Mary and Charlie Appel were the ones that headed that, and want to publicly thank them, and also the Lions Club for the TV projector and laptop for the training. Thank the Lions Club publicly for that.
Yeah, so this is the first I've heard about that. What did they? They donated a TV projector, laptop,
$1,000, so you could purchase those items. Yeah.
So it's this TV here.
That big one sitting on the floor.
Yeah.
Yes.
This projector here, there's another one up in the case up top there, and then a laptop that I use for training in the office.
Built like a TV thing, entertainment center.
Or we still need to get the cables and everything to
hook
it up to stuff.
Okay, well, good.
And also, we can add Sulphur Springs. I talked to them, I talked to Jose and Cox, and they're going to donate power poles so they could be cut and used for fencing at the heliport, so we just need to go
yeah,
a chainsaw and a trailer.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure
that Terry was.
Yeah, Chief was working with Terry on that to get this trailer over there, and then Terry's gone now, so I'm not sure. I think they were actually supposed to go do that
yesterday.
Was it yesterday? Gotcha.
So I'll call Jose.
They didn't have to do it yesterday.
They didn't have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They could have done it as early as yesterday, but he said that it's at any time, just let him know.
And that was who again for the public record?
Sulphur Springs.
Sulphur Springs.
Valley Electric.
Oh, Valley Electric. Okay.
SSBEC.
Okay. We thank them too. Any other questions concerning the reports from the board? We'll move down and discuss agenda item number 8 under new business. What I discuss and possibly vote on changing the Sunside Pierce fire station to solar. I've been in communication with one of the people from Cochise State, and it's Buena Vista Plumbing Limited. He says what they would need to be able to make a presentation to the fire department, what they would need from the district is a release form saying that they have the right to look into our electrical usage and power usage. And once they have that, then they can set up a time and schedule to come and give us a presentation to see how much we could save concerning that. Basically, they also tell you, you know, what you're wasting and what you're not wasting, what you're, you know. So it's a good program. I went through it myself and immediately stopped using some particular items that we were using and saw the savings right off the bat. So what we need to do is to get the board approval to give that release to the company to get that information. Yes?
I already have our electric wattage, our usage on our electric because I used it for our ground. So they might not even have to go to the company. I might be able to give that to you,
Yeah, okay, because they don't charge for that.
Oh, okay.
There's no charge on that. It's just a release that they're able to go through with their program and get all that information.
Okay.
So the first presentation is just a free presentation to show what we're using, how we're using it, and what meters. We have 2 meters here, I think. The
we have five different accounts for electric. We have some security lights. We have Richland Station. We have Main Station. We have the Arts and Crafts quarters.
Okay.
So there's quite a few. It runs about, runs us roughly about $850 a month just in electricity.
Okay. Basically, what we need to write up is that the Sunnyside Pierce Fire District gives permission to Buena Vista Plumbing to obtain and review past and present electrical bills and records in order to aid in the engineering and design aspects of the installation of a photovoltaic solar system for the dwelling located at our address here at the station. And it needs to be signed, it needs to be signed by the board member here, but approved, discussed, and possibly approved by the board to get this release. Any questions from the board?
I just have a statement. I'm not really interested in converting to solar. I don't think it's feasible yet, or everybody would have it on their house.
Well, just in my discussion with him, there's a lot of rebates back from the state and from the electric company, a lot of it, and it was interesting to listen to it, to listen to their different programs. When you put in solar energy, you also could put in a what they call, instead of batteries, you just put the extra energy back into the system. What is that called? I forgot what that was called. That extra usage.
Well, then we get it from the electrical company and it comes off the bill?
And yes, they take it off the bill.
It's buying it back.
They're taking the extra energy. I think the presentation would open our eyes, and then right now we're only going to discuss giving the permission to have this company take a look at the usage and present the different levels of solar that can go here. Mm-hmm. It can go from just a small rooftop one to a big array on land. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like a feasible thing to save money. One, just if nothing else, just by listening to them. When I listen to them, we haven't yet decided to go solar energy, but I immediately got rid of the refrigerator in the garage. And
why?
The electricity that was being used on that particular.
Oh, you still have the refrigerator. You just
got disconnected since, there were just different aspects that I found we could utilize. Maybe we can find that aspect.
So the solar is supporting that refrigerator?
No, not now. Well, we haven't even gone to solar yet. We were just taking
just the
energy on particular items that he pointed out that is being used. He had all that information, what a refrigerator that size, what the usage is on that on a 24-hour basis.
So you got rid of it?
Well, we turned it off. And utilize the other two refrigerators that we do have. Why not utilize both of those in the house rather than use an extra one in the garage just for convenience sake?
Mm-hmm. So you're just talking about saving on excess.
That was part of his presentation, to show what you can save on excess, what you can save with a partial solar, and what you can save with full solar.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, I think it might be a good presentation for the board to view, discuss, and then vote if the board chooses to do so.
And he would come in and tell us probably our doors and it's an old building, it's not energy efficient. That would probably help
exactly.
A lot if it was better insulated or whatever the case.
Where we're losing a lot of energy, what power is being used the most, and so on down the line.
Well, how would we save energy with those doors replacing?
Possibly to seal them better, or add I don't know. I'd let him decide that. Let him talk about that.
Okay.
And then we can bring that up.
When are you interested in having this little...
It would be up to him how long it takes him to assimilate the information and present it. It took him about 3 weeks to get to us. So I'm thinking by the next meeting he would have an answer or a presentation.
You want to do it during the meeting or before the meeting? Or?
We could set it up or we have a special workshop. It doesn't have to be at a meeting.
That's a great idea.
And that way a lot of people can attend a special workshop. Any other discussion?
I'll make a motion that we send a letter to this gentleman and set up at his convenience a workshop and at least hear him out. See if we can...
We have a motion on the floor by Mr. Tim Heine to send a letter to the Buena Vista Plumbing Company, giving him permission to review the past and present electrical bill records in order to aid in the engineering and design aspects of the installation of a possible solar system for our location.
Second.
We have a second by Ms. Candy Roll. Any further discussion? We'll now take a vote. All those in favor of that motion?
Aye.
With a show of hands. Show of hands show that all four board members present did vote in favor of that. Moving on to the next item under new business, review and discuss the fire chief's contract. We had a copy sent out. Did you get yours, Bill? I'm sorry. Did I get the wrong one?
This says Bill.
I know. I think I thought I took mine.
You didn't pick yours up?
It probably says penal on it. Candy. I got rebels here.
Oh. Okay.
Now, has any of the board members had a chance to review? I know Bill just got his just now. This is the fire chief's contract. Just to discuss and review and discuss the fire chief's contract is what's on the agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Candy, have you had a chance to?
Yes, sir, I have.
Mr. Heine?
Yes, I have.
Any questions or comments concerning this? I've talked to our district representative concerning contracts for the chief, and some contracts are renewable every year, as in this case we have the chief's contract good for a year. January is his coming day.
Mm-hmm.
He says that you can do it once. The normal time period is 1 year to 2 years. Chief Miller said his contract was good for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
He says one of the just suggestions to make sure that the contract is reviewed by the attorney,
mm-hmm.
our district attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, it was set up that way, wasn't it, to begin with, the attorney?
Yes. Yeah. We reviewed it,
mm-hmm.
but make sure that it is reviewed. Noted there, and make sure we ask our attorney for any suggestions or additions that we think we might need, since they're the ones that do that.
Were there any given at the time when you first signed the contract?
Not at this time. Bill, do you recall anything concerning that?
Concerning what now?
The chief's contract that we renewed back in.
Set it up.
Anything as far as when it would be renewed?
Mm-hmm. No.
No.
Scheduled with the attorney, to make sure that everything was in place. You didn't do that?
I don't believe so. Mm-hmm.
Does she have a copy on hand?
I don't know if she keeps copies, our attorney.
Actually, yes. The attorney did read over the contract.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like that. I remember that, but I
don't think that would be standard procedure.
But I'm not sure.
Okay.
I have one item number 5 under professional development. The fire board shall encourage the fire chief to represent the district in local, regional, state, national, and international organizations relevant to the district in the community it serves, to maintain its certifications, and to take advantage of opportunities for continuing education and mutual beneficial to the fire chief's professional development district. Fire board shall budget for and pay a reasonable amount for professional dues, subscription, travel, and subsequent expenses for the fire chief for professional development, continuing education, conferences, and other similar events for the fire, emergency medical, and emergency management arenas. And so I think what we need to do is when the chief, well, use this as a worksheet. Do we have any other comments from the board concerning?
What was your question about five?
Oh, that this is, I had a question, how the chief is paid when he goes outside his, like on a fire call. The question was brought up the other day, why the chief received so much money on the last fire that he was out.
Uh-huh.
And the chief did compensate back that 1 week's pay.
Why?
Because he was paid by the state.
Okay. Oh, so it was kind of a double.
Right. And okay. So the state did pay him more uh-huh. for that particular job. My only question was how was the chief paid back? I have questions in that maybe the chief or our district representative can answer a little better, because he definitely, but Bill Miller asked me to, you know, did tell me that I could call back in any kind of more questions once we had this meeting.
Okay.
My question is how is the chief paid? Is he paid on an annual salary? Is he paid on a hourly wage? Is he on call for 24 hours? Is he compensated when he is on call for that particular 24 hours as a 3-day work schedule, or is it? So there's questions that in my mind I have to ask, because I'm not real sure myself exactly how the contract should be worded to clear up that in my mind that hazy portion of can the chief come back in and work a 24-hour shift and get compensated for 3 days pay, if that's how that works. And so I had questions concerning that.
It's basically laid out in here on the compensation part. It says that the fire chief will be paid by the state land for the wildfires.
And
he will pay back us $19.32 an hour, or $23 an hour, basically. So that part's kind of set.
But that's under item number 4C?
Right.
But the question, where the question comes up in this particular time is, there were 40 hours at $19.23 put back, but then I can't remember whatever 40 times 19.23, but then on the second week that the chief was out, when he came back, he took a weekend shift to make up his 40 hours rather than pay back at the 40 hours. So basically he got his 40 hours that week plus however many hours at the fire. So the question comes down, is the chief on a Monday through Friday 8 to 5, or is he on a 24 hours, or when he goes out on state land? So the question just arises when you see the amount of money that was on a 2-week check. You go, how could you do that? And the other question arises, can you go out and spend what is it, 6 days at 12 hours or 16 hours a day, and then come back and put in 2 24-hour days to make up your 40 hours, or is that working too many hours? Those are the type of things that need to be addressed in the contract, and it's not here. It does say how he's going to pay it back, but it doesn't say that he has to do that as 40 hours donated back, or is it okay to come back in and take a couple of 24-hour shifts and pay back your 40 hours? That's where the question comes up. Is that proper? Is that the way it should be? Should we be working him that many hours, et cetera? That's where it comes down to.
Or should he be out of town that much? Is that another question?
It is a question, and it was a question. And, you know, I'll just say I'm the one that brought up the question with Mr. Fino. But at the same time, you also have to understand that, as Mr. Peterson said, he's the only engine boss that we have. So if we want equipment out on these wildland fires, and if it is beneficial to us, they have to have an engine boss, correct? So he's our only engine boss. So if we want to get equipment out and we want to do that and we want to be part of the wildlands, then that question's answered. He's the only engine boss we have. We have to look at that way. But, you know, I know past board members said that the chief would never be out of town. That's why we have a wildlands coordinator. So those questions have been raised before.
And he mentioned, I thought at the last meeting, that he, because of our red flag situation, he wouldn't go out of state. And then when it got worse, he wouldn't even go out of district. And then he was gone over into New Mexico, and he got home. He went off on another fire, and now he's off again in New Mexico. So, and the door wasn't open at noon in the day he got back. Why was that door locked? Sorry, pet peeve.
So, if I might go on here, there's another part in here. We used to have a wildlands coordinator. We're just kind of up in the air in our wildlands situation right now. We no longer have a wildlands coordinator. There are some things that definitely probably need to be addressed, because that part of the contract, if you don't have a wildlands coordinator, then it's difficult. How much sway or influence we should have in that, I'm not sure. Except that it changes what we did in a contract. So, without a wildlands coordinator, it pretty much says that the chief would back up the wildlands coordinator, but there is no wildlands coordinator. So basically, he has become the wildlands coordinator. There's just an awful lot of issues that need to be looked at. I would think for him as well as us.
Is he supposed to do both? Well, I guess if you're small enough, you have to, don't you?
Well, without a student.
Okay.
Or
there's an assistant chief or a battalion, you know, just depends on who's.
Because we have no, we have no assistant chief present at this time.
Mm-hmm.
I know we have full coverage here at the station. Mm-hmm. When the chief is gone. Let me ask Paul. Paul, if a command decision has to be made when the chief is gone, is that able to be done?
At this point, the decisions are made day to day by the captains that are on shift, but there is no, if there needs to be a chief style decision made, there is no redundancy to his position, though. It's either we make the decision or we try our best to get over to him.
Okay. Would a assistant chief position take care of that situation?
It would take care of that situation. Now, whether or not we can afford that situation or
right.
not, I don't know.
Right. Mr. McCart?
I don't think that's for us to discuss. To be honest with you, it's for us to bring up, perhaps, but it's not for us to discuss, because if you look in here, and that's the way we set this up, the chief will take care of those. He'll do the personnel hiring and firing and et cetera, and run the chain of command. But for our own well-being and the district's well-being, it is for us to bring up. It is for him to decide and us to decide whether we like his decision. if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are things that need to be discussed. We're kind of helter-skelter at the moment.
Well, I'm kind of curious, with a new engine boss in the Terry Tingle as a new engine boss, would that keep our chief at the station more or not during wildland season? I know we're going to be really extremely red flag this season.
Mm-hmm.
We've already seen it with all the fires surrounding us and all the smoke. And it was different last year. Last year we had a wet season, and not very much at all. And so, I guess, pardon the pun, we're playing with fire when we're trying to forecast the seasons. But we got some good questions. Let me just put out a few that I can discuss with our district rep. Can the chief make up time with one or two 24-hour shifts? I did bring that up to him, and he says it just. I did bring up that question, but I can get it more. I can clarify it a little better. He did say a lot of it just depends on his contract and what the board wants. So I think maybe just further conversation with the chief will answer that. But I'll definitely bring that up with our district rep. Number two, we no longer have any wildland coordinator. What are we going to do, basically?
What type of person took care of wildland coordinator?
Well, that was Steve Estelle's position.
Okay.
He was here for that time.
Uh-huh.
And he ran it, and it was the chief's prerogative to... chief did terminate that position because it wasn't benefiting the district at that time, and of course the pay for that position was a lot. But would that have taken care of this wildland season this year? I don't know. There was some other situations that came up along with that decision, but. Again, that's another question that we need to bring up with the chief. He brought in some wildland personnel part-time to help fill that void.
Mm-hmm.
And like Paul had mentioned earlier, two of those people are now gone. We had one here working on a fire as we speak. Let me ask Paul this question. Do we have any other wildland people out there that he was brought in for?
Well, that are brought in specifically for wildland,
yes.
No. We do have Tyler over here that is one of our stipend guys, which was kind of how that program was supposed to be set up, was for the wildland type stuff. And his partner from up with Scottsdale as well, Brandon, is actually out with Terry right now on the Wall of Fire.
Why didn't he go?
Because nobody asked.
We need an experienced operator with there. Neither one of these guys have experience in wildland. So we need an experienced operator on there along with somebody to train.
We'll try and rotate it so everybody is fair.
Okay.
Tyler was out on the Arlene fire and Brandon was not, so this it should have to be that Brandon was up for this one.
Okay. So without a wildland coordinator, that's one of the questions we have to discuss with the chief. Another one is how much time should the chief be gone on out of state fires or in state fires? What that's another thing that we should discuss. And possibly have listed in the contract, Mr. Tim Honey said, how often should he be gone? I think that was your question.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to address that as a board. We need to address that with the chief and talk to him. And then we should, we do the contract. We hire the chief. And that should be part of our decision, too. So we need to discuss this with the chief further. Any other questions that you think need to be brought up?
I'm kind of surprised, to be honest with you, just thinking back, if I might just think out loud here, that there isn't something in here as to that, because I know we had those discussions, but that's also where the wildland coordinator position came from too, is that we had the discussions that we certain people wanted the fire chief to always be in district, and I'm not saying one way or the other, I'm just saying I remember having those discussions. I'm surprised it's not in the contract, but I don't see it in it.
Because we did have one chief that we interviewed that was more than tickled to be within district. He says, I'm not one that wants to go out. Mm-hmm. And that was part of his interview, that he wanted to stay and manage the fire district. How that handled. I myself am pleased with our fire chief. I like his work piece. He's a hard worker. I have no problems with our fire chief, with the way he handles the fire station or his personnel, his chain of command. But I think these are issues that need to be addressed by the board to him, and to clarify this possibly a little bit further into the future for the next contract.
And I would like, if it has the hours on the door that we're supposed to be open, and during those hours I'd like that door to be open. I got here at 12:30 one day and nobody was here, and I'm not going to go back to the sleeping crew area and pound on the door there. Somebody should be here. I mean, it's lunch break, and I appreciate everybody wants to go out at lunch and maybe bond with each other, because that's important, but somebody needs to be here.
Let me ask Ms. Tucker and Paul, is it a standard rule that sometimes the station is closed, locked?
Well, if I'm not here and they go out on a call, they lock it so people aren't in here taking things, but we can certainly figure out a lunch schedule so somebody's here.
I said, I know per federal law, per fair labor laws, you have to give a lunch break, but I don't know whether or not they have to take a lunch break necessarily here. But like Lori said, there's definitely ways to stagger breaks for there's something here all the time.
We eat in here a lot. Sometimes it's necessary to eat outside or something, but we can figure out something, that's for sure.
So basically, the station needs to stay open during the normal operational hours.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm not sure if that's, well, I guess that is basically a policy that, would that be under an SOP, Paul?
Yes.
That would come under that? But just, okay. So it is something that we can...
the way our current SOP states for hours of operation is 8:30 is what the new policy states. But it doesn't necessarily address anything in there about being here for that entire
time. It's just written on the door.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions, comments from the board concerning
so
the chief contract?
What we're going to do is go back over the compensation part and the professional development part. Clarity on that?
Basically, what we need to do is discuss with the chief. Yeah. I mean, he's the part that's missing.
Yes,
the rest
yes.
of us are here.
Yeah, I think we really, I'd like to make a motion that we table this discussion any further until the chief is here.
Okay. I think it was, okay, we have a motion on the floor for Mr. Heine to table this discussion until the chief comes back. It has been seconded by Ms. Candy Roll. Any comments or discussion before we vote?
You have a lot of notes that you're going to go to
our district rep, Mr.
Discuss with them so that you'll have a little bit further information for
yes.
us when we do this. Should this be at a regular meeting, or should we have a
It probably should be at the next meeting.
Okay.
Bring it up.
Yeah.
Since it was on this agenda, we should, since we're tabling it, it should be at the next meeting.
It should be, it'll come under unfinished business for the next meeting.
My math is not right in my head. Is that contract under his new rate? Because I know, was it 3 meetings ago, 4 meetings ago? January, whatever it was.
It says it was entered the 5th day of January 2000. No.
So this contract is at the 40,000 per annum.
Yes. Right, I saw that.
Yes, so it's not up to date as far as current value.
I said 19 something an hour. I'm just looking at that. Right.
Yeah. No, it's not.
What is the salary?
I think it's 55.5.
I'm sorry?
55.5. I don't know what that breaks down into hours. Not calculating.
20. It breaks
down,
I think, 26 something. 26.49 an hour.
Yeah, so we'll just put question marks on the couple of months here. Okay. So we have that motion. We have so we have that motion on the board. Any other comments or discussion? I'll take a vote. All those board members in favor of tabling this as unfinished business until the next meeting or when the chief is here, with a show of hands. Show of hands. Show that all board members did vote in favor of tabling the rest of this discussion. Under new business, discuss and vote on the direction of the heliport. Again, this is an item that the chief wanted to talk a little bit about. And I think it's important to have the chief here also concerning the heliport.
Do you know what he wanted to do?
I think he wanted to talk. The subject was brought up by a member of the community saying that they had a donation coming in and had asked me if that donation could be matched by the fire department. I talked to the chief concerning that. The chief did say the station was not in the position to make donations for that.
Because
we receive it, but he says that possibly it could be discussed about, and I'm not sure exactly how the chief worded it because he's not here, but that a possible budget item could be made for the heliport.
Designate
a particular fund. Now, again, the chief not being here, I did not, he did not share with me what it possibly could go under.
Would we have to notify the taxpayers?
Again, this would be discussion with Mr. McCarter.
I just want to caution that I don't want to see the heliport become a fire department project, because it wasn't started that way, and it's not something that the fire department started. Not that I think the heliport's a bad thing, I just don't want it to morph into the fire department's project, because it was not. It was nice of them to donate the land in the fire department's name. I'm not even sure how that all fits together, but this was started as a almost personal project by a couple of individuals, and I don't want to see it morph into the fire department's project. Would it be nice for the fire department? Yes. Is it nice for the community? Yes. I just don't want to see it morph into being our personal project.
Well, I make a motion that we table this also, and possibly put it under unfinished business after we discuss this a little further with Chief Martinez.
Mm-hmm. Second.
It has been seconded by Mr. Tim Riney. Any further discussion?
I just want to make one more comment. I don't think we can donate public funds if it's to come out as a donation.
No, we cannot donate. That was definitely a specific thing that Chief Martinez did specify, that the district cannot donate. We can only receive donations.
There you go.
So okay. He was very clear on that. And he he made that comment. So any other discussions, comments? We'll not take a vote to table this upon further discussion with Chief Martinez. All those in favor of tabling this motion for unfinished business with a show of hands? Show of hands show that all board members did vote in favor of that. Now, under new business, discuss and vote on the proposed park district. I added this agenda item myself. I was approached by the park district board asking us why we haven't signed the park district proposal. I was under the assumption that we could not sign for that particular portion of the park district because we don't pay taxes. And so they said, no, that's not correct. So I contacted the city, the county, and talked to Pat and brought up the question about that. I said, I was approached by the park district about this. Are we able to sign the park district ballot? Or say, no, we do not want to sign the park district. Do we have that yay or nay vote for the park district? She got back to me after about 4 or 5 days research and said, yes, you can discuss and possibly vote for it or against it at a board meeting. We have to, it has to be brought up on the agenda, it has to be discussed, and there has to be a vote. Now, if the vote is against it, then the motion is dropped. We inform the board that the board voted against the proposed park district, and we would not sign the petition. If the vote goes in favor of that, then the board would vote and approve that, and that the chairman of the board would then have the signature that would be placed on the designated petition that is going around the district at this time. And that is why this has been brought to here. So
now that also involves tax hike in the long run. So do we have to consider that in that signature?
We don't pay taxes.
Yeah, we don't pay taxes on that. But we are part of that land assessment value. Mm-hmm. That's why Pat down at the county office said that we have that right now to vote on that. So it's just a matter of discussion and possible motion and voting. Mm-hmm. So now that I've presented that, now it's open for discussion. Now, anything to discuss further than what I've stated?
Well, as you know, I'm one of the petitioners. I can discuss this. I feel that we're all in support of the community, or we wouldn't be where we're at right now at this table. And I think that this Parks District is a very good thing for the community. I see no downside to it, and haven't since the beginning. So, but I will abstain from voting on it since I am on the board that would be governing this.
You'll be on a temporary board that's governing.
I'll be on a board for a year.
Right, until yes. The election comes up.
That 1 year after, if the park district is formed, I would be one of the board members for 1 year. And then the board would be voted in on a yearly basis by the voters. Registered voters.
Well, since I'm taking petitions out and you're taking petitions out, we're in favor of it.
Right. I was just about to say, most of the people in the town know my position because I've been out there with my petition. I don't think it's a conflict of interest because I am in favor of the Park District, because that's a personal opinion. I don't think that's a conflict of interest. I can research it further. I did ask Pat that question, how that affects the board. Mm-hmm. She says your personal opinions has nothing to do with what the board decisions are made.
Okay.
You know, Mr. Tim Heine says he has a conflict of interest because he is a board member. Mm-hmm. And I could take that in hand, but I can also discuss that with the county. So personal opinions have nothing to do with board decisions at this juncture. So you being in favor of the Park District and me being in favor of the Park District, that's our personal opinion.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Bill, Mr. McCarty, you have any comments to make?
I haven't made up my mind on the Park District, so I just don't see how I could vote, but that doesn't mean a vote can't be taken.
Mr. Jones
is not present at the time.
Mm-hmm. And he doesn't live in the district, so, well, it's...
Right, it has nothing to do with a board decision. He's
okay.
part of this board, of okay. this fire district, of this address. I think we're going to have to also table this until we get all the board members here. I can talk to the county again and ask Pat about the conflicts of interest. And we'll put down one Park District board member. We'll put down two petition gatherers, such as you and I. And we'll bring this up at the next meeting.
And you're going to the county again to ask further questions about this?
About further questions.
Well, if it's going to raise the taxes of the community. And like my neighbor is very opposed to this. So if our signature is on there, and the people that are opposed, is there any kind of retaliation that they'll do against the firehouse, or that they can do about the fire, the firehouse signing it, or?
Well, that's a good
like
point.
What?
In other words,
are you angry?
Right, and they'll say that we didn't have to vote on it.
It's a lot of the reason that public entities don't get involved in political stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We are a public entity. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
But
I make a motion that you table it till the next meeting. We can discuss it further, but by the next meeting, we're not going to need our signature anyhow.
Huh?
So
okay,
so that gets us all off the hook.
Okay, we have a motion by Mr. Tim Heine to table this also as unfinished business for the next meeting. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
We have a second by Mr. Candy Roll.
Go over that.
Miss Candy Roll.
Any further discussion?
That's me.
We'll now take a vote. All those in favor of tabling this discussion till the next meeting with a show of hands. Show of hands show that all board members did vote in favor of that. Under unfinished business, discussion under last month's fire district budget on employees, physicians, and cost.
He has narrowed it down to a company by the name of Concentra, where we could have an account with them. We would send our new employees there for pre-employment drug screening, as well as physicals. EKG. It's a level one, including a level one left assessment, pulmonary function test. It comes down to $243.50 per employee. And I think that's the best rate you found.
And this goes with the county, they'll accept this company?
Yes, as long as they're a certified medical doctor that's doing the screening. We have it in our SOPs that we will make everyone drug test and take these physicals. If we're not going to follow that rule, then it shouldn't be in our SOPs. If it's going to stay in there, we should. And it's better for us anyways. We want to know that everyone is fit. You know, nobody has any issues.
And how often would this occur?
Once a year. And before they start.
So what's the total cost for the $243.50 times?
Per person?
Well, 23 employees? 24?
$5,000.
23 right now.
23?
So you say $5,000, Bill?
About that.
And you can, I think you can kind of pick and choose.
Yeah,
right?
you can pick and choose a couple of things to kind of move the price around a little bit, but it'll be roughly anywhere from $225 to $250.
Especially the drug screening, it's very important these days.
And that will help us also become more NFPA compliant as far as their health and safety programs go. And working towards NFPA 1501.
$5,400, $5,368 for 22 employees.
At 23, so another 50. So this rounded off to 56 for 23 employees. Okay.
So where does that come out of our budget?
We budgeted $1,000 for that.
What part of the budget was that under?
Employee compensation. We can amend it, change the numbers around, and designate some funds. Reverend Jones brought it up at the last meeting that, you know, he felt that that should be at a higher amount.
He did.
And,
I was all in the minutes. I remember rereading it.
I just hadn't seen us taking that step to put those SOPs in place. So, I don't know. If we're going to do it and we're going to stick to it, it's going to be a guideline. I think, yes, we'll need more money in that budget account. If we're going to continue to have a more lax approach to it, then...
Under personal services, you say?
Under health, employee health and safety, under personnel. We budgeted in this next, the 2011-2012 fiscal year, $1,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that, but it's... Okay. I don't see that section on this one on the financial report that you gave us today. So,
mm-hmm. Most,
that's employee health.
That's not in the M&O.
Yeah, employee health. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it should be.
Employee health and safety.
We were under. That's why we.
We had it at 15, and we backed it off to 5.
Yeah, because we were under, or we had extra money, so we were juggling numbers during that workshop, and that's how we came up with that.
We had to really put this into place at that time.
Okay.
All right now, all we use that account for is pre-employment fingerprint cards.
Right, that's
which are $20.
I remember that.
So would $5,600 cover fingerprinting in the whole?
No, not fingerprinting.
We need to budget
at least $6,000 or everything.
You need to budget $5,600 on top of whatever you have in there right now, and
which is $1,000
new employees.
Right. So it just depends.
Mm. How much is fingerprinting?
$20 a person.
Okay.
So where do we steal it from?
And that's not so bad if you have just the full time personnel, but when you have reserves, when you have part time people, when you have stipend people, you have to fingerprint everybody, so it adds up.
Mm-hmm. So where does this money come from? Mm-hmm. If we're going to discuss about amending.
We need to have a work. workshop, I would say, and go over numbers again and see where we can move things around. If we're going to put that in place, I think we either need, you know, we need to make a decision first of all whether to follow the SOP that we've written and it be mandatory for everyone, or we take it out of our SOPs and we try.
When does our tax money start coming in again?
October will be the first portion of it.
Well, I'd love to see this go into effect, but I'd sure like to see it wait until October when we get some money coming.
And, you know, maybe that's what it would be best.
So I think that maybe a workshop in a month or so, let's give it a couple of months, but I think I would be very interested in seeing this happen.
Now, would this workshop be with the chief and his personnel, or with the board and the chief,
Lloyd. I mean, just like we had a workshop on the budget.
It's a special workshop.
Just a special workshop.
Okay.
See what we can.
Don't we also have a window of opportunity here at the end of our fiscal year to see where our budget is?
We can.
From last year.
My issue in the SOP is that we've already approved those SOPs, and it is in our handbook. It's in our guidelines. If we are not going to follow that, then.
No. What I'm saying is, I think you missed my point. My point is, don't we have an opportunity to possibly look at some monies that we haven't spent?
It could be a carry-forward.
Yeah, carry-forward, something like that.
Of course.
Where there may be, before October, monies available.
And I believe you will. We're sitting, we have $112,000 in our M&O account, and we're a few weeks away, so I think we're doing really well.
Yeah.
Well, let's go with them. I'd like to go with Mr. Heine's suggestion is to set up a special workshop. Let us know the date and the time, and we'll sit down and plan this.
I would say mid-July we should have a good idea.
Yeah,
what we have left over.
There you go.
Okay, mid-July. So let's put that in the minutes, and we'll discuss.
We can set the date at the next meeting.
Yeah, we'll just set the date at the next meeting. Good idea.
Yeah, I'll need to turn in the whole year with our accounting report pretty soon. So.
Okay.
The whole year dates on our meetings.
Any further discussion on this particular agenda item?
I will be out of town from the 10th to the 13th.
Oh, me too.
In July?
10th through the 17th.
Uh-huh.
Okay, July. So possibly during the end of July? Okay. Let's go closer to the end of July.
Okay.
Are you tagging along on my vacation?
No, I'm taking my own for one.
I was going to say, well, wait, we have to talk about that.
Yes.
Okay. If there's nothing further to discuss, I'll ask if there's any public wishing to address the board. There is none. We'll move on to agenda item number 11 and adjourn. The time is 8:33. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Do you happen to have a copy of the minutes by chance?
Not with me, no. I'll
just so I have it.
I haven't gotten one.
I sent you one.
There you go, perfect.
You can photocopy these.
I haven't got
the minutes.
Any. If you wouldn't mind, I just put it in that file.
No, not the agenda. The minutes I sent out to the board. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I haven't gotten.
Oh, yeah. Yours prints out different, doesn't it?
Yellow.
No, I mean, look at all the spacing.
She's a little spacier than you are.
He's supportive to me if you have a
money. Are you still recording?
I do. Oh, okay. I believe. Do you know what you...